Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is October 3rd, 2019.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
You can always find our updates with breaking news at the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, and all that at our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We're a national satellite radio program which is simulcast live on the net, internationally, YouTube, and some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime because it's not free and we're behind on radio. So we need a sponsor to pay that monthly so we can stay on here. Let's thank our listeners' base, which is worldwide in Guayaquil, Ecuador.
Ecuador, and I don't know how to pronounce that either.
Okay, and Bonn, Germany. Nottingham, United Kingdom.
You know, like in a, you know, Robin Hood type thing, Nottingham, the sheriff of Nottingham. Yeah. You know, so you folks out there, I hope you got that sheriff under control, right?
And
you know,
and Auckland, New Zealand, yeah. and of course the good old USA city places like San Francisco, California, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Washington, D.C., Kansas City, Missouri, and Wichita, Kansas is actually the largest listener to the radio program when it podcasts later after the program tonight.
Took enough. Anyway, Aurora, Alabama is right above, is right below Wichita. Anyways, follow and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not our will, Father. So please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, folks, first a warning. We have something to share with you a little bit down in the program, probably about 5 minutes in, that will probably, if this doesn't shock you awake, I don't think anything will. But in the meantime, I've got to play this song that is just this song just really puts it where I feel about what's going on with the world. Prayerfully, he's got it ready to go up. It's our Brother Ben number one song. Go ahead.
Further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul. To snatch us over entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. You're soon to lose their soul. That was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard dried, the field is wide, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. There's so their souls, they don't know. You're soon to lose their souls, and they don't know.
Again, folks, a warning. After we get through this little bit about what's currently going on in the war, the battle for the world with President Trump, then I suggest this next thing after that directly is going to shock you, and I pray that it does shock you. Anyway, what we're really seeing about Trump, what we're really seeing is not biblical when it comes to President Trump, and I'll explain in a minute, and we're talking about the impeachment inquiry. I say supposed because there was no House floor vote, not one subpoena has been issued. If it was an official inquiry by a House standard, then they would have had a House floor vote. Even without the various committees involved, they have the power to issue subpoenas, and they have not. Why not? The reason is clear, and it could be challenged because it could be challenged in court. This is what Kevin McCarty writes. So why don't they use it? Well, because subpoenas get litigated in court. And when people or agencies on the receiving end object, McCarthy writes, Democrats want to have an impeachment show, an inquiry on television. They don't want to defend its bona fides in court. The impeachment inquiry is focused on allegations of an anonymous whistleblower. Got that? Anonymous whistleblower with secondhand information. The framers didn't go along with that. The framers created a high standard. He argues that resisting an information request is not evidence of an obstruction, and that's what the Democrats say. If you don't answer our inquiry, then that's evidence of obstruction. That's totally wrong. It is evidence that the recipient of the demand believes he or she has a legal privilege that excuses compliance. The recipient can be wrong about without being held guilty of obstruction, but move on. McCarty writes, congressional Democrats know this, of course, and many of them are lawyers. They are issuing partisan letters that pose legally offensive threats rather than subpoenas because this is a show, not a real impeachment inquiry. The framers of the Constitution worried that impeachment could be politicized, which is why they adopted the Burtonian high standard of high crimes, misdemeanors, in addition to treason and bribery, he explains. So why all this? First and foremost, they know that that no one can beat President Trump in the next election. So they're trying to get the American people to turn on him. Oops. Polling released today, I've seen, shows that the president, since this has all been started, is up by 2 points, and I bet it's even higher than that, because who trusts polls? The second reason is the Democrats are desperate to stop what's coming on the horizon. The Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz report on the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act abuse is coming. The U.S. District Attorney John Durham's findings on the origin of the Russian hoax are coming. The Attorney General William Barr is working to get the truth that has been obscured by the Democrats and the anti-Trump media for so long. The deep state is very, very worried because they know that there's going to be arrest. Heads are going to roll. In fact, a whistleblower is from the CIA. That's deep state as we get. So now they're trying to attack Barr for inquiries with other nations about all his trying to blacken his eyes. But all this is made much more determined to get the truth. They're messing with the wrong person with Barr. He's all about the truth.
And he's
going after him. And that's what all this is about. Speaking the truth, let's see what the Bible says about truth and secondhand knowledge. What's the Bible? Does the Bible support secondhand knowledge? What's it say about witnesses? Now, read a couple of these, Mom.
A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only on the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses shall a charge be established.
And that's Deuteronomy 19:15. Well, we've got to have more than one witnesses, but folks, I posted over at the pastor's page 18 scriptures as a witness. Go ahead.
Matthew 18:16. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses.
Okay, so that's Old Testament and New Testament. Let's go on again.
2 Corinthians 13:1. This is the third time I am coming to you. Every charge must be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses.
Now, it says witnesses. Witnesses is somebody that actually saw it, observed it, I heard somebody else say it.
Because I heard somebody else say it is gossip and hearsay.
Right. Okay, go on.
John 8:17. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. 1 Timothy 5:19. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses.
And Trump more than qualifies as an elder.
Oh, yeah. Matthew 18:15-17. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen to even to the church, then let him be as to you as a Gentile and a tax collector.
In other words, let him be to you as a non-believer.
Right.
And so that was more than two witnesses, but I placed a link to 18 of them over there. So it's totally not Christian, but what does the left consistently do? They consistently, Nancy Pelosi says, we're doing God's work and praying, and, you know, they even say God goes along with abortion and everything.
Please.
But the point is that they're not of God, you know, and they're portraying things, you know, that it's just lie after lie after lie. And they know, but they don't think people will check it, and the people that they have on their side let's just read this little thing I put up here, Mom, about the Democratic Party.
The Democratic Party is the world's most successful hate group. It attracts poor people who hate rich people, black people who hate straight people, feminists who hate men, environmentalists
Wait a minute. Black people who hate white people.
Oh, okay.
Not straight people.
Okay, black people who hate white people, gay people who hate straight people, feminists who hate men, environmentalists who hate the internal combustion engine, and a lot of battery college kids who hate their parents. However, the real secret of the party's success is that it attracts the support of journalists who hate Republicans and who therefore work tirelessly to convince the rest of us that we should vote Democrat. Not by happening. No, no, no. I believe in God and His Word, and I don't believe in the Democrat and their evil, 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 capital evil, pure evil ways. And all their agenda is evil, evil, evil.
Okay. Well, most of their agenda is what we can see now, that's for sure. At once upon a time, there were some good people in the Democratic Party, and I venture to say there are some older people that are trying to stick to what are their older guns or the way that they felt, you know, and that do go to church and are God-fearing people. Just because we're seeing it, the craziness has taken over, doesn't mean the craziness has taken over absolutely everyone. It's just like you, just because we say somebody's Republican, we can't say they're absolutely good, because a lot of them are rotten to the core.
Okay, but how can you say you're a Democrat when you know that they're for abortion, homosexuality, everything that is against the Lord, and say that you're of the Lord? When you can't be on the fence and ride both sides. You either are of the Lord or you're not of the Lord. So if you're of the Democratic Party in this day and time, you're not of the Lord.
Right. And so, and you know, that's a really good question and something to talk about. But let's say, this is what I want to say to that, is a lot of them, and it really has boggles my mind. There's a lot of people out there that claim to be Christians, but yet they go for abortion, and I really don't understand that, because it's a murder of children. They don't go by their biblical point of view. And they have a lot of churches that back them up. And so, you know, if you're a Christian and your pastor's not telling you abortion's wrong, then you should get out of that church. And these other things are wrong. You can't just say, well, I won't vote for one in this election. You know, a non-vote is a vote for the bad side.
Right.
You've got to stand up. And so, you know, if you are a Christian and you are a believer in Yeshua HaMashiach, you know, or Jesus Christ, if you will, I strongly suggest you look at your values and see what your values are. If your values don't go aside, if you knowingly do something wrong and knowingly vote for a Democrat that wants murder of a child, and you know that that's what they are, it's not like a lesser choice. You know, you can't, you've got to vote the other way, because otherwise, by not voting, you allow them.
You can't stand, in other words, can't stand for something that is totally against God and be of God. End of story.
Well, right, let alone with all the homosexuality that they're for, and same-sex marriage. That should have been a deciding factor in itself. If you're a Democrat and you believe in God, you believe in Jesus Christ, how in the world can you go along with a party that believes it's okay for two men to get married or two women to get married? Or now it's, you know, it's expanding. Like you pointed out on that program before, in Norway, they can marry animals.
Well, and the scripture says, be not equally yoked. Good can't be with evil. Evil can't be with good. If they won't listen to the good, you need to get rid of them and get away from them, or they're going to turn you bad.
Right. Don't be unequally yoked. That's exactly what it says. You need to be equally yoked. That means you need to be associating with fellow believers.
And if you point it out to them and they still want to be gay, you cannot be friends with gay people. People, if you're of the Lord, you cannot have gay friends. End of story. They're not of God.
Okay, well, let's go back to that scripture. I mean, which is really important. The important one on it was the last one. If your brother sins against you, and between you, tell him between you and him alone. So if you know somebody that's gay and you claim you're a friend, go to him and tell him alone that it's wrong and it's not of the Lord, and show him the Bible, you know, show him that. If he listens to you, great, you've gained your brother. But if he doesn't listen, it says, take one or two others with you, and then you go and sit down with them and try to show them the scriptures and show them what's wrong. If they don't, this goes into what you were saying. Well, then you shouldn't be friends with him, because if he refuses, you tell it to the church. That means publicly. If they still refuse to listen, then you cut them loose. You cut them out of the church, away from you, because otherwise, you know, it not only would drag you, their being around them will drag you down, but it will also drag down others. Say, well, you accepted that one as gay, so I can be gay.
Right.
And so you really can't be doing it. Folks, you need to join the battle. This is a battle. It's an end-time battle going on. We're not flying out of here until Yeshua comes back. And so there is a spiritual battle going on. This is what all this is about, between good and evil. You need to join the war. You need to get in there. You need to be prayer warriors. You need to forward messages. You need to drive Facebook crazy. I don't care if you get kicked off of it, and Twitter. You need to stand up for what is right. And you need to be telling your pastors about it. If they're not, you need to warn him just like this. And if your pastors won't come around and start talking about what's wrong, because they can't get in political trouble right now, because right now Trump stopped it, church from being able to get in political trouble right now for speaking. So they've got a voice. They need to use it. And if they're not going to use it, then you need to either have a home fellowship or go to another church. And I know there's a lot of wonderful Christians out there in the church, but it's time for you to stand up and join the fight. If you don't stand up and join the fight, I don't know what to say. We won't win. That was why the Christians went to sleep. And we, what happened by going to sleep and you didn't vote right? What happened? What came in? Now we have the House in there that's controlled by these Democrats that are hurting the country and hurting us spiritually. And believe me, if they completely take office, their goal is to get rid of Christianity. And if you don't believe that, you must really, really be asleep. Really be asleep. Tell them where they can find them, and we'll come back in a little while.
Tell them where you can find us. We can find all of our information over at prophecyhour.com. All of our mailing information, all the information how to donate, all the rodeo programs, everything's right, and everything about the mission. Everything's at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Did you call them rodeo programs?
Rodeo? Rodeo?
No, it's
the
radio.
Radio.
Radio programs. All right, we'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Friend, if you're troubled and you lost your way, don't worry about it, everything's okay. Jesus gonna come himself and look for you. Give you a charge of the Holy Ghost power, see you through your troubled eyes. Life is right, surely you will find your way. He's always on call, he wants to save the lost. His charge is always free, with a shout of victory. One more could you ask? You give the very best. His answer is always yes to meet your needs.
Has always been the basis of religious activity, which opposes the true worship of the biblical Creator. The purpose of these segments, entitled Just the Facts, is to examine various aspects of sun worship and its influence upon the gradual falling away from the example set by Jesus, taught by his disciples, and practiced by the believers of the first century. While we hope that you find these brief segments informative and thought-provoking, it is impossible to expose the depth of the deception that has taken place in such short periods of time. For this reason, I would like to make you aware of more complete documentation which is available to you. I have written down the words of a book entitled Too Long in the Sun. The book contains a more complete documentation in a simple, easy-to-read format of the apostasy of the last days, which was prophesied by both the Old and New Testament. The book traces pagan sun worship through the various civilizations of history and right on through present day. It documents from an historical and biblical standpoint the fact that what the Bible calls the ways of the heathen must still be dealt with today. A short 28-page summary of the book is also available, along with a one-hour audio tape version of the summary. Finally, a one-hour video presentation of Too Long in the Sun is offered as a free gift for those purchasing three of the larger 256-page books. This video includes pictures and video segments from around the world, which verify in a powerful and undeniable way what is being presented. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Okay, folks, I hope you're really braced for this because this is one of the most sickest evil things I have ever seen in modern times. Words can't describe it, but I guess words will describe it. Now, buck up here. I want you to read this, and I want you to read it slowly where they can understand it, and it's really, really terrible. So, sit up here and go ahead.
Okay. Couples are apparently getting pregnant just to abort their babies in a new sexual fetish, twisted sexual fetish. This is a story that is not for the faint of heart. Since the 1970s, the left has been desperately trying to convince Americans that all they want is for abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. But we know that is a downright lie. Pro-aborts have no interest in making abortion rare. Since 2015, over 800,000 abortions have been performed each year in the United States alone. Between 1973 and 2011, over 53 million abortions have legally occurred in the U.S. Abortion takes more human lives every single year than any other leading cause of death. How can anyone call that rare with a straight face? The left has always tried to convince us abortion isn't meant to be used as birth control, but that's exactly what's happening. So many Americans have bought this lie lock, stock, and barrel, and their conscience are no longer triggered by the idea of killing an unborn baby. While it may be hard to believe, it actually gets worse than that. A troubling and true depraved new sexual fetish has been allegedly exposed through online chat forums. The fetish involves couples engaging in unprotected sex with the express goal of getting pregnant just to have an abortion. Being pregnant is something the couples enjoy, and so is killing their killing of their unborn child. It's hard to even wrap your mind around this kind of wickedness.
Okay, now let that sink in. Just for clarity to the people, what she just said, that abortion was always supposed to be, you know, in case of emergency. You know, if the mom was sick or the baby would hurt him, not because they didn't want to raise a kid or not because of birth control, but for a medical reason. That's what it was supposed to be for. But as we know now, they're aborting babies. I mean, and they're encouraged to do so because there's an industry in selling baby parts and so on and so forth. But now we're coming up to, now this is what I'm talking about. There's people's minds are depraved. They didn't get this way on their own. This is demonic influence, and you can't tell me it isn't demonic to want to have a child just so you can kill the child. Let that sink in a second. Okay, have the child so you can kill the child. Let's go on now.
Paul Joseph Watson reports in a Reddit post entitled Question Regarding Abortion and Breeding Fetish, one user reveals how she has a female friend who has a really powerful fetish for breeding and never used birth control. She is with a male partner currently who is just like her into breeding, and they have been practicing their fetish for quite a few abortions, the post reads. Another male respondent then shared details of his own abortion fetish lifestyle. I know this fetish. My girlfriend and me have the same fetish. My girlfriend enjoys her pregnancies, and she enjoys the abortion. Her preferred date to abort is between 20 and 24 weeks of gestation.
Stop it.
Wow.
Now, what's 20 and 4? For some of us that are stupid, what's 20 and 24 weeks? How old is that baby?
5 months. Five, six months old.
So, on all intents and purposes, at 5 or 6 months old, it's fully functioning baby in there, you know what I mean?
And no, they can be born at 7 months and make it perfectly. I've seen them born at 24 weeks and make it perfectly fine. They're premature, but they're still baby life, and they're still a human being.
Right, right. They're still a human being. So at this point, this is really, I believe from the first, even if it's with an overnight abortion pill, that it's murder. But this is really getting dramatic. These people are even waiting. Now, they do it. This is, go ahead.
Okay, and I really enjoy making her pregnant, and I enjoy the time of her pregnancy. She has no menstrual period, and she is sexually very attractive, he writes.
Very active.
Oh, active. Okay. In the last 10 years in our relationship, we've done 7 abortions, and my girlfriend is pregnant again with a little girl, he adds. Another respondent then praises him for sharing his fetish, writing, it is good and rare to hear of a couple, both man and woman, where both members are into abortion and pregnancy. Oh, gosh. This is wonderful and potent example of personal power where sex meets violence and creation combines with destruction. It's hard to even see the conversation threads mentioned in the video, as if using abortion as a birth control wasn't bad enough. Now we have people supposedly purposefully becoming pregnant and with all the goal of killing their child in some kind of sick attempt to find sexual pleasure. They don't stop after one time either. They do it again and again while building some twisted bond with their partner. This is nothing more than bloodlust. We can only hope that perhaps abortion advocates will see this and rethink their enthusiasm for killing unborn babies. Maybe they will see just how devastating abortion really is to a society as a whole. Sadly, however, I wouldn't recommend holding your breath. We must continue to fight this evil in both action and prayer with renewed zeal after seeing just how far people are willing to go to use abortion as a means to a consequence-free life.
Now, so what do you think about
that? That's premeditated murder right there.
Yeah, it's premeditated.
They're doing it to kill the baby. That's premeditated murder. They're making the baby before it's even conceived. They're planning on killing it. That's premeditated murder.
Yeah, that's, but that, what I'm, here's the point. That is such a depraved and evil mind. I can't see how that has to be demonic influence into doing that. I mean, you know, come on, to get your sexual pleasure that, oh, I can't wait to make you pregnant, baby, so that, we can have a baby. So, oh, wait a minute. So we can almost have a baby so I can murder it, you know? And that one was 11 times or something like that. I don't know. It's ill. This is what's on the planet. And this is what I mean by people need to, things aren't normal. You need to join the battle and the war. You need to support, you need to be into talk radio. You need to be doing things. You need to be supporting the people that are out there in the front line. You need to get in line yourself because, you know, a lot of attitude that Christians have, and again, it's a fault of faulty theology, is the fact to think, well, we're all going to fly out over here before the worst happens. No, we're not. The Yeshua doesn't say that. He's going to get us at his return, and we have to endure to the end in order to be saved. But listen to this. You need to join the battle. Your battle isn't just to sit on the sidelines. Faith doesn't mean just sitting down in a chair and doing nothing. If you know something's wrong, speak up. In fact, if the church would have been speaking up, we would not be at this point.
Right.
But the church went silent because of the 501(c). They became the 501(c), and man, they don't want to lose their tax deduction. In fact, you know, I can attest to the fact of I can't count how many times you've called for donations, or I've asked people, and they say, well, we can donate, but from a store or something, but we can't do that unless you got your 501(c)(3) number. Well, no, I'm a church. If you make a tax deduction, little do they know. And you can't explain it to them that they can still claim it. They can still get honored for a tax deduction, but they don't want to do it without the number. But you don't have to have the number to get that. But the church fell into that greedy trap. And, you know, that's what it's all about, let alone these people. Now, here's the dangers of Hollywood and all that. You know, like Oprah Winfrey, she screams out loud, shout your abortion, and all these other women that are so proud of their abortions. This is in part what helps create that fantasy, I regret, or fetish, as they're calling it, because, you know, people want to fit in. They want to be a long part of the crowd. Well, I got to get pregnant so I can shout my abortion. You know what I'm saying? So Hollywood, by saying it's such a celebrating thing, and I really became, I've heard some of them say they really became a woman after they had their abortion, by saying those things and people listening to it, creates this kind of a thing. Says, well, I better get pregnant so I can have an abortion and become a woman too, or so on and so forth. It's sick.
You become a murderer is what you become.
Right, but it's depravity. It is depravity. It comes from a depraved mind. That does not come from a mind that thinks straight. You know, anybody with any little bit of intelligence can tell that when something's alive and moving around in a womb, it is a human being. I mean, I've seen films where they go out and they talk to this one woman. She went out and talked to some people on campus, you know, students, and she's asking them about saving eagles eggs, you know, that there was a war against eagles eggs, and you know, and so that's basically, you know, an egg where it's growing, right? Oh, they were all, oh, you can't hurt it, it's an eagle in the egg, it's still alive and all that. And they said, well, how do you feel about abortion? Isn't that something alive inside of you? And they just shut up.
Yeah.
They wouldn't talk about it. They won't take that comparison. But where does that comparison come from? It comes from the institutions themselves, because the colleges and not all of the schools have been taken over, and not in like 90% of the colleges have been, though, with leftists. And they spew this stuff out to the people, and they teach them that, because after all, they go to college to do what? To learn.
Yeah.
Right? So they listen to their teachers, and that's what happens. So they get brainwashed into believing. And so be careful, folks. You know, in fact, the schools push indoctrination by college on you. You know, now recently, even my 18-year-old son, you know, we had a meeting with a counselor, you know, about going some different schooling. And the schooling that they laid out, well, he needs to go the first few years of college. I know, but it's what, 2 years, isn't it, or three?
Yeah, the first is 2, and then 4, and then 6.
Okay, but the first 2 years, they want him to go.
Associates.
Okay, but anyway, moved on past that. Anyway, the first 2 years, they wanted him to go. And I said, well, you know, he has no plan. They said, well, he needs that to go to college. I said, well, he's not going to college. If anything, he's going to go to a trade school. He's going to go to a trade school. And they said, well, he may need it later on. They pushed and pushed and pushed, and I said, no. Why? To rack up a whole bunch of money that I said, why do you pay for it? They said, no, he has to get student loans for it and all that. So they wanted to rack up a huge debt on him to send him to those 2 years to get him brainwashed by putting their indoctrination in him. And that's what it is. It's indoctrination. Folks, you got to keep your children out. You got to keep your children out of it. Send them to a straight school or,
Was you thinking of VOTEC?
No, I wasn't thinking of VOTEC at all whatsoever. I'm talking about, like Frank pulled up here, he said community college.
Yeah.
It's just the first 2 years of college. You get your associate's degree,
right,
and then you go on to whatever. During that 2 years, you don't even really get to pick the subject because they got certain things that you need to do. You might get one course in what you want, but that's what it is. And like, it's the same. It's community college. It's not VOTEC. I strongly agree with kids going to trade school. That's VOTEC. Yes, go to trade school. They don't indoctrinate you. At least they pray they don't. Teaching you how to be a machinist or being a mechanic or maybe being, a carpenter. You know, carpenters make great money now, you know.
Yeah, we looked that up the other day. Was it $54 an hour?
Something like that in Kansas City, what I saw.
Wow.
And just an apprentice starts out about $24 an hour, you know, or something like that. You know, back when I injured my back in 1985 in Union Construction, I was paid just for labor $9 an hour when I hurt my back, and that was in 1985. So that's, that's like $20 an hour now, at least.
Yeah, or more.
Or more.
Yeah, you can go flip hamburgers for 10, so imagine it's up there.
Yeah. But the Christian narrative, if any of you want to know what it is, about life and abortions and so forth, it's a crime against God and humanity. Just look up Psalm 139. It's in 13 to 14. Jeremiah 1, 4 to 5. Isaiah 49, 1 and 5. Luke 1:15, Exodus 20:13, 21:22 to 25. If you look all those up, in fact, I'll send that over there to the page so you can find them, because we're not going to look them up and read them tonight. Now, there's just so much craziness now going on. You know, libraries are still hiring adult entertainments for drag queen story hour. You know that.
I had a post come across last night in Sacramento, California. 700 parents pulled their kids out of school because of their LBGYQ, whatever the heck it is, curriculum study that they started that began Friday. So 700 of their parents pulled their kids out, so they're not coming back. We're homeschooling. You know, that makes them lose their tax dollars. So they're rethinking their curriculum now.
Okay, and see, there's the point. There's my point. I said, join the battle.
Right.
Those parents joined the battle.
Right.
But, you know, sitting on a chair and saying, well, somebody else will do it, somebody else will protest, somebody else will speak up, that's wrong. And if you don't feel it, maybe you're not physically able to do that or whatever, but then you back up the people that you do, either with donations or you know, some kind of support, prayer support. It helps. You know, it really does help. Prayer is number one. But, you know, so many people forget that, you know, a lot of people make donations, and I'm not even got into started talking about the mission church and such right now, but the problem is, and I've seen it over and over, just like when some brethren, and I'm not going to point out the ministry, called me up one time, and they said, Pastor Dan, we're getting ready to slaughter a cow. And we thought about you. So immediately I think, oh, cool, they're going to donate some meat, right? Well,
I remember that.
And then I said, yeah. I said, well, what's on your mind? They said, well, we're getting ready to slaughter a cow, and we thought you could use the guts. I said, what? Well, we thought you could use the guts, you know, the heart and different things like that. They did not make any offering of meat whatsoever. And I said, no, thank you. But, you know, you're supposed to give the father the first, not the last. Yeshua says, under the least of these, when you do under the least of these, it's like you do it unto me. And so, when you give under the least, it's like giving to Yeshua.
All right.
But people don't realize that. You know, they even don't make donations until the end of things. I think of God last. Well, I'll see what I got left over after my bills. And then after my bills and my pleasure and my movie trip and my McDonald's or whatever, or my out to dinner, which nowadays just a simple dinner for two in a regular restaurant costs about $40-$50, you know, and that's just, it's just ridiculous how much it costs. But, and I understand a lot of people are making good wages, like $24 an hour or $50 an hour, but
all the minimum wage people are having to live two and three families just to afford their rent and utilities.
Right. And you know what? That's the most of the people that donate to us. I have guys that have come on here, you know. It was like the guy, and I'm going to say it today, we had a millionaire contact us once, and it was a, praise the Lord, it was a great thing that he donated. He ended up donating $25,000. But he did it, but first he wanted to make sure I'd do a prayer request for him because he had a prayer that he wanted answered. And so he gave to the Lord to get the prayer request. That's what I thought the first time. I thought, well, okay, would he have made it without the prayer request? I don't know. That's what I thought the first time. Well, so the prayer was answered almost immediately for him, that we prayed for him. And the donation was great. And then about a year later or something, he didn't like what the Father had given him, what he prayed for. Basically, he was praying for an apartment in a certain neighborhood, place where he grew up at. We prayed for it, he got it. So he contacts me again. And dangles a donation in front of me, but he needs another prayer to get out of that apartment because he didn't like it. So we did that, and he made a donation. And then he said, then after a while, he said, take me off your mailing list, you know, because my mailing list for mission updates is about getting donations. Well, so you see my point? He only wanted to give to God when he wanted something, not give to God with no attachment.
Right.
And that's how you get blessed. That's why I believe the first blessing, yeah, he asked for an apartment and he got it, but it wasn't what he wanted because he wasn't doing it with the
right
heart.
Well, what happened? If I remember right, his neighbors was too noisy and
it doesn't matter it's irrelevant.
Right.
That is totally irrelevant. It doesn't matter they had noisy neighbors. The Father put him in next to Norton.
Where he wanted and then decided he didn't like it. Yeah.
He didn't like it, but the point is maybe the Father would have put him in the right place had he did the donation without obligation. You understand? When you donate, you don't put an obligation to give and get back. It doesn't work that way with the Father, and it is just wrong. Now, anyway, we're coming up. Next week is Day of Atonement, and so I pray all of you observe the Day of Atonement and the High Sabbath of it. My son told me right,
remember. It's Wednesday.
Yeah, it starts Tuesday night at dark, and it goes dark to dark. So it starts Tuesday night at dark, and it's up Wednesday night. So you should be keeping the Feast of the Father and not man's holidays. Let's move on with that. Okay, and so Wichita Mission Church, you know, we're really in a dire place. You know, I checked my PayPal yesterday, it's got 96 cents in it. That's how much money I have. And I've got about a little over a quarter tank of gas. I got enough to get to the church tomorrow. We'll go there and feed, and they're going to get good food because I already bought the food for them earlier this week. I'm going to have hot dogs and pasta salad and so on and so forth.
And donuts, fresh donuts every day, yay.
And Brett, speak up when you talk to him. Fresh donuts, we're going to have that too. So we have the meal taken care of, but you know, my point is this, is the harder that we fight, the devil comes against us. That's what's really dragging our finances down. And so that is what's dragging our finances down, is the attacks of the devil. But I am not going to relent. You think, Yeshua, let's go with this. The devil has worked so hard on these people trying to break them and take everything away from them. Now, a lot of these people, they didn't have any kind of major problems with them until they had a bad break or in the street. Or maybe some of these people just simply have physical problems and such, or waiting on disability, and they can't get a place. Or they're poor. People that walk in the door are poor. They can only barely afford a roof over their head and not a good meal. So we give them that. We give them first aid. We give them whatever we can. And we really do need your help. We do need your help. So pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. Also, radio. You folks are listening to me on radio. We don't sell anything. We sell nothing. Zero. Not one thing. We're only on the air by your graces. I owe last month's radio, and I need to pay this month's radio. You want to keep us on the air? We need your donations for radio, and it needs to be marked as radio. Anything else you want to bring up?
No, not really.
Okay, speak up when you talk. So support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. People, men, women, and children from all walks of life who had a bad break, come to us for help. We get no help from really any organized churches or government agency, and that isn't a government agency that started helping us. There, we do get hygiene from one place, but it's not a government agency, and it's not funded by the government. And, but it's only folks like you that supported us for now that we're in our 20th year of doing this mission church, and it's been by faith for 20 years. We care and minister to people in a part of town most people don't even like to drive through, let alone I wouldn't advise walking through it. But it, isn't that where the body of Yeshua HaMashiach is supposed to be, is among the sinners and among the people that are they're needed by? Why do so many people come for us to help? Well, it's because we treat them like family. We treat them like family. We give them love along with things, you know. And sometimes I get a little grouchy, but not always. But the point is we give them love. We treat them like family.
And they don't have to prove anything to us. There's no papers to sign, no ID to show. No, you just come in and ask if we have it, it's yours.
Yeah, amen. And if we don't have it, we pray it in. You know, say a prayer for them. And you don't know how many people, I mean, just come specifically just for prayer. They'll come in and tell me an impossible situation. And I say, what do you want me to do about that? Well, prayer, Pastor Dan. I want a prayer. So, amen. So we pray for them. And they get answers. Otherwise, why would they continually be coming back for the prayer? Even agencies tell them, their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. When guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
Your heart. Again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's free, and it's not free, and donations keep us on the air. Now, you can donate online or over the phone or mail a check or money order. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And I'll add to that, you know, I know there's a lot of people that listen to this radio program that have money, and I'm not downing you for having money. And I want you to donate to, I want to make sure if you're in a church group that you're donating to your church first, you know. But after that, I want you to pray about a donation for us. A lot of you have called and told me how much you enjoy the radio program and how much you help others and everything. Well, that's great. But pray about a little bit of help coming this direction, because we do really need your help. And again, I know you enjoy the radio program besides the fact that you've called and told me, but also by the fact that how many numbers of people listen to the podcast. Now, I can't tell how many people are listening to us like right now on live radio or being simulcast live on the net internationally right now and on the FM station, but I can tell how many people listen and where they listen when we take these and put them in a podcast later, and it's a big number. And so, folks, pray about it. You're really going to like our next guest. It's Doug Giles. He's going to be on with me at 7 p.m., and he does daily, the class daily. Really going to be a good program. So you want to say goodbye, Tom?
Well, shalom, people.
Okay. Folks, remember, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights on the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father.
Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, it's like praying for Messiah's return.
Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and your face would shine upon them, and you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.